Welcome to the Next Gen Work Culture Podcast. I'm your host, Courtney Ross. I help leaders support working parents so that they can recruit and retain the best people. Join me as I interview experts and provide insights into the struggles that parents and caregivers face in the workplace. Learn how your business can become a place where parents feel included, supported, and valued. Being a family-friendly business isn't just a nice to have anymore. For the next generation and those that are raising them, it is critical. Welcome to the Next Gen Work Culture. Today, I'm talking with Carrie Burchill, the author of Leading Out of the Ask-Hole Trap. So, Carrie, before we get started, can you tell us a little bit about you and who you are and what you do?
Yeah, for sure. Let me just first of all compliment you. Good pronunciation, Gordy. Ask-hole. It's funny, when I started writing that book, so often I was talking about it and kind of playing around with the title and would mispronounce that word. So the concept of the ask-hole trap and really the framework that I outline in there came from a lot of life experiences, professional and personal. So I'm in the unfortunate position of not being able to have kids, which I feel sort of presses some social responsibility on me to contribute differently than people might with parents, with kids. And so in our 30s, my partner and I felt like we just weren't really being stretched and contributing in ways that we wanted to. And we didn't want to hit the ceiling of our career, you know, sort of late 30s. So I applied for a principalship. I was in education in the Netherlands, and he applied for med school. And we sort of said, like, whatever happens, we'll roll with it. Let's, you know, create that challenge and that growth and kind of see how we can just continue to put our little stamp on the world. And so long story short, my husband graduated from med school at 39.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I say all the time, we did med school. It really meant that we, gosh, in that med school time of 9 years, I lived in 3 countries, 6 cities, and worked in 9 different organizations. So I started to see how leaders have such an impact, how employees engage with leaders to advocate for their needs, like all of this interpersonal dynamic and how we can really unintentionally maybe ask people to do our work for us because we're stressed and we're spinning. So that's the ask-hole behavior. Or we ask a question that we know the answer to, but we're hoping if we ask it again, we might get a different answer. So, you know, on one hand, how as an employee do I not create those traps and demonstrate that behavior? And on the other hand, if I'm a leader, how do I help people pull out of that spin so that they're not giving me the ask-hole behaviors and then blaming me as a leader for like frustrating them and not being whatever they need me to be? So all of that work out of a little bit of my education background, but more importantly, those years of med school and living in all those cities and seeing all those different organizations, really dysfunctional and really functional, like the whole gamut. And so, yeah, that's a bit of what we're here to talk about today.
Yeah, no, I love that. I love that, you know, you had this unfortunate life experience or, you know, what was handed to you, the cards that were handed to you, and you took that. And instead of just, woe is me, you know, like, I need to do something bigger. We need to make a change. And both of you just like, you know, went on with something completely different and, you know, new and dove right into trying to make a difference and an impact in a different way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know that those med school years probably were very trying.
Yeah. Like, I'm super proud that we're still married out of them, honestly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And even when you're not the student, it's difficult. I was out of school just 1 year earlier than my husband. He was finishing up grad school the year after I had graduated, and we got married right like after I graduated, so that it was his last year of grad, and like that was hard enough. Just trying to survive the first year of marriage while he was still in school and I was working full-time. You know, 1 year was more than enough for me to want to do, so I can't imagine
that
doing it.
Is tricky anyway, right? Never mind in that kind of chaos. So I'm with you.
Absolutely. So you worked in several different organizations. You said you saw some that were very functional, very dysfunctional. Is the ask-hole something that kind of shows up everywhere? Or is it, do you think that that's really more in the dysfunctional organization?
Yeah, I think you see it more in dysfunctional organizations. But the real catalyst for ask-hole behavior is just people in that day-to-day spin, that firefighting. You're answering something quickly to get onto the next fire, and hopefully not 10 more fires will pop up as you're answering the second. You know, just that busyness that we can all get caught in. I love that expression. We can be a human being or a human doing. and we get caught up in the do. And that really promotes the spin. It's a catalyst for some of that unwanted behavior. Unknowingly, people might ask others to do more of their work that if they slow down, they could probably streamline or balance out in different ways. So you see it more in dysfunctional environments because leaders don't recognize it. They don't address it. They don't help employees pull out of that spin, which is then going to reduce the asshole behavior. But it's everywhere. I mean, this is a really funny, I was just telling keynote the other day this. So I run onto the stage and I have the song from Journey, Don't Stop Believe, right? Yeah. So I have known this song for like the first 25 years of our marriage and never knew who sang it. I'm terrible with artists. And everybody knows this song but Carrie, right?
Yeah.
So finally we're in the car one day and I'm saying to my husband, this is the song. This is the song I love. Wow, he's laughing. He's like, you can't think of any lyrics over all these years like Don't Stop Believing or Living in a Lonely World. You know, he's like, totally damn me, rightfully so. Anyway, so fast forward, he buys me Journey tickets last year here in San Antonio. So we go to the concert. I'm engrossed. Like, I'm taking footage and I'm so in love with this band and it's way better than I thought it would be. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And at the end, it's over. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, they didn't play my favorite song. And I turn to my partner and I say, how come they didn't play my favorite song? Which is a total asshole thing because they played it in the third, they played it as the third song. I even recorded it. I'm spinning so fast in my adrenaline and excitement about seeing the concert. I totally made my husband the scapegoat, right? So what is he going to say? Yeah. They played it as the third song. And I'm going to say, why didn't you tell me? Which is exactly what he said and exactly what I said. Or he could have lied and said, oh, I don't remember. And then later I would have seen it in my footage and then blamed it. Like either way, he's in the doghouse, right? I'm being an asshole because I'm asking him something that if I slowed down, I probably knew. Instead, I'm just asking him so I can blame him for whatever the answer is that I'm not slowing down enough to get. Right? Like it pops up in regular life. It pops up at work. It just is that spin that is sometimes in my case, right? That really excited adrenaline more often than not is out of stress. But either way, we displace that stress onto people and then put them in a position to blame them and make them go on the track.
Yeah, absolutely. I think my husband would probably say that I'm an asshole sometimes.
And it was so funny because as soon as I said it and he answered and I'm like, oh my gosh, that was a total asshole question. He's like,
yeah,
like waiting for kind of the chips to fall. I'm like, how much of a doghouse am I going to be on this, right? Yeah. total classic carry. Like I'm not detail oriented, didn't track that stuff, did my own thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think for me, sometimes I tend to ask the same questions over and over again or ask them in different ways to try to get information because I don't understand something or like I am trying to be super organized. And especially like my husband's on a special team for work and has to travel and stuff. And I know the dates, but then I'm constantly asking him all the details. And he's like, I don't know. I don't know yet. And that just really bothers me that, like, I don't like that answer. So I'm going to ask again. Surely he knows something, right? They must have some detail that he's just not sharing with me. And so I think sometimes it comes definitely from stress, but trying to, like, get more. Like, if I ask in a different way, then surely he knows something, you know?
And of course you want to be a good partner, right? You want to organize things and support him and make sure that he's comfortable with the house and the kids and whatever just being set up. Like it comes from a good place. That's the irony of it, right? The asshole behavior comes from a good place, but it doesn't come across well, right? Because if your partner doesn't know the details of the trip, it doesn't matter what he says to you. It's not going to be enough for you, right? So he's in the asshole trap because you're asking. He doesn't have the details. Nobody's winning. When really it's like, hey, Courtney, what's causing the anxiety here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's causing the spin? And that's the bigger conversation, but we never get to that because we're always just trying to tackle the top of the spin, right? Which is like, tell me your detail. Tell me why they didn't play my song. Tell me.
tell me more. So how could this behavior kind of show up in the workplace? Like, what is an example that you may see between a manager and a direct report, you know, being stuck in that asshole trap?
Yeah. I was with the University of Texas doing a webinar recently, and they're MBA students, right? And they're trying to prove themselves in internships. And so we did the example of a leader comes to you and assigns some work. And of course, you're trying to do the best you can. You're trying to prove yourself. This might be a future employer. And you go, okay, yeah, thanks. And then you leave and you get back to your office and you go, what the hell am I supposed to do, right? And so the students on this call, I mean, they're seasoned, like 30 to 50 sort of age bracket. I mean, they've lived some life, and they're all talking about how, yeah, that happens. And I go back and I do a bunch of work, and then I show it to the leader that asked me to do the work, and it's not right. And now the deadline's pushed back, and, you know, the student's in the asshole trap because they got asked to do something and they didn't get enough information. They didn't ask the questions back. They didn't listen. And now the whole deadline for the project is missed because the student thought they had it, but didn't sort of enact some of the principles in the book. And now they're in this trap for doing everything right.
Yeah. So they were trying real hard to do it, but they just didn't have all the information they needed. Yeah. They didn't have clear direction or whatever from their manager.
As soon as the leader came in, they're like, okay, yeah, I got it. And the students start spinning because they want to do well and they want to show up and they want to do all of that stuff. And so they just start being stressed, you know, in a kind of excited way, but not slowing down to sort of listen and then ask questions and double check and let's go back and forth.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned the principles in the book. What are some of those principles that maybe we need to keep in mind to not fall into the ask whole trap?
Yeah. So first, from a leadership lens, if you're feeling the first step is really assessing how you feel, right? So if somebody comes to you and gives you an assignment and, you know, you're now a leader of a team trying to fulfill this assignment and you're feeling irritated, frustrated, you know, whatever the feelings are that are kind of grindy, that's an indication that you might be headed towards the ask-hole trap. Or if your reaction is to like jump in and do something quickly, like these MBA students, right? I'm going to tackle this. I get it. Okay, go team. You know, and they haven't, it's quick action. It's not thoughtful action. Then you're probably headed for an ask-hole trap. So the first thing is just to give yourself permission to feel whatever you feel. And so often we jump into the work, right? And we're not slowing down to kind of say, my internal barometer is probably a good indication for what my next steps might be, right? Because there's real leadership work, and then there's like ask-hole trap work. And the book is really focused on ask-hole trap work. Obviously, there are times when we need to slow down and do the big work and the heavy lifting. That's not where this comes in. It's people that could do the work, but they're spending so much that they're not.
Yeah.
So the first thing is to kind of assess that. And then I'll go through the first three out of the six. So the first thing is just to assess your feelings. And if you're feeling kind of that grind and resentment and you're taking quick action and you know it's an asshole trap, then you're going, ding, ding, ding. I'm going to enact the second strategy, which is to actively listen. And that just slows the conversation down. It makes it so the spin sort of keeps at bay. And you just really simply want to actively listen, right? Okay, so I understand that you want me to do ABC. Wow, you're talking like this is really hot off the press. You know, you want to listen to all the ways you can listen to somebody. 93% of our communication is nonverbal, right? So what are all the cues this person's telling you? And slow them down by active listening. Wow, you're really linking this to some of the financial pressures the company's under, right? Like just listen, say everything that you're sort of interpreting and you hear them saying and we're slowing down. And as you actively listen, the neat thing about it is the other person's going to talk more. And so you get the answers you need just because you've taken control of the situation to slow down, right? And veer away from the ask-hole trap. And then the third thing is to ask open-ended questions. So thinking about, you know, what's your perception of the priorities, or what's the impact on the bottom line financially, or how would you recommend I start, right? Like just open-ended questions, and then active listen, open-ended questions, and just slow the conversation down.
Those are some great tips and things to think through. So this kind of reminds me, so I was in a conversation, a recording with Allison Whalen from Parentally a few months back, and we talked about preparing for parental leave. Mm-hmm. And she really advocates that the direct report or the employee should help steer that preparation process, you know, and the manager needs to guide it though. So it needs to be some teamwork there and work together and not just throw all the work on one of those individuals or the other.
Absolutely.
But I can see this, you know, ask-hole trap happening as you're trying to prepare for that leave, because it's definitely something that's going to be you know, you're spinning your wheels. The employee is feeling all of the pressures of the new baby is coming, or, you know, we're adopting or whatever. And I also have to prepare for somebody to take my place at work, or for team members to take over my work, and blah, 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 all of the things. And as a leader, I can also see that, you know, they're thinking they're going to have a lot of feelings. They may have to check their feelings too, because it could be super overwhelming to know that, you know, especially if it's like a high performing team member or like a leader, that, you know, they're going to be gone for however long, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 12 weeks, longer. You know, what are we going to do? And then you get into this spin, freaking out and trying to get all of the things covered, and maybe don't slow down and listen and ask those questions.
Yes. Yes. Because it's a partnership, right? I mean, I can't set, as a mom leaving on leave, I can't set a perfect plan without the leaders tag teaming with me. And likewise, the leader can't make a perfect plan without me tag teaming. Yeah. And you're absolutely right. That's a classic Askel trap. So as an employee, if I'm not engaging in some of the strategies that I just mentioned, that assess what you feel, active listening and asking questions, I might go to my leader and go, you know, what documents do I have to fill out?
Yeah.
Well, they might tell me a couple of them, but they don't know all of them, right? Like,
yeah,
maybe my leader's hasn't had a baby for 20 years, right? Like they're
right.
And they're not HR specialists, right? So being able to ask more of those open-ended questions that are a little broader and not tricky. Like if I say, what forms do I need to fill out? There's a right answer.
Right.
So I'm putting somebody in the Askel trap because I'm asking something that gives a right or wrong answer. And if my leader gives me three of the five forms, then I'm going to blame them because they didn't give me all five. Right. Where a better question is to say like, hey, you know, we're both kind of worried about this leave thing and know both of us want it to wrap up nicely and just, so, you know, what are my first steps? Who do I need to talk with? Where do I need to look at for the forms? What do you know about the process? Here's what I know about the process, you know, and multiple almost iterations of that conversation, because it's a complex process, right? So you're managing the process, but you're also managing the emotions of it. And maybe there's something as an employee I could do to support my manager's anxiety and in turn ask them to do some things to support me. Right. Like it's a tag team. So outside of the process of applying for mat leave, I might say things like, hey, I'm feeling like kind of anxious about this. How are you?
Yeah.
Like, let's just talk about this real stuff. You know, what can we do to have each other's back going into this?
Yeah, absolutely. Like actually talk about your emotions, acknowledge that it's overwhelming.
Permission to feel, right?
Maybe a little scary.
And I'm like digging deep to come to work every day with 18 basketballs out front of me. No,
yeah.
here's authentically and transparently where I'm at. And I want to leave 100% set up, you know, how's it looking on the other side? You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So I could see where, you know, instead of coming to the manager and saying, who's going to cover my responsibilities while I'm out, you know, have that conversation. Like, I do, you know, X, Y, and Z. How are we going to take care of that? Or, you know, what are your ideas? Or, you know, yes. I love, you know, focusing on the open-ended questions instead of something that has a right or wrong answer. Because then you can't blame them for the wrong answer.
Yeah. And you want to avoid why. So if I say to my leader, you know, why is the process like this? It's so convoluted. Why just has a blame and it puts the other person on defense? Even if your leader is not in HR, they're going to feel defensive because they're part of the leadership team that's driving some of these processes. So avoid why, what, and how, and make them what I call tricky questions, right? I can ask good open-ended questions, but if they're leading the other person to sort of say what I want, well, that's an Askel trap, right? Just authentically, truly open-ended questions without a right or wrong answer. That's going to be the win.
Yeah, those leading questions, trying to like guide the conversation where you want it. Still going to kind of get upset if you get the quote wrong answer from them. You know, they don't say what you were wanting or expecting.
Yeah. And it's high stakes, right? And so, of course, like I've coached leaders that have gone on mat leave, and part of their preparation in our coaching calls going into it have been around wanting to make sure that they have a job to go back to. They want to seem as be seen as a professional, not, you know, a woman who's having a baby, right? Like, I'm a woman who's having a baby and a professional, and it's possible that I do both, right? So some of that discussion on how do I set up the mat leave so that I'm still honored in the position when I come back. The position is still there for me when I come back. Like, all of these sort of anxiety things in the background. And so being able to say, and you know, coming clean with some of those conversations, it's important to me that I'm seen as a leader. You know, what considerations do I need to think about in this transition for that purpose? You know, so so have the whole gamut of conversations and be upfront. You know, and the person might downplay it. Oh, it's, of course you're a leader. Okay, so you see I'm a leader and I'm not sure that you're getting my concern. What do you hear my concern being? And force the slowdown in the active listening, because they're coming in on a spin.
Yeah.
And sometimes those touchy-feely conversations, depending on your leader, may be a little bit new or a little bit awkward. And I love Brené Brown's expression, just be awkward, brave, and kind. You know, so how can we be brave having those conversations? Be kind, because they're going to be awkward. You are, and they are. And just being kind in interpreting how your manager may or may not miss, they may miss the mark, right? And so just being brave to go at it again on a different day, be kind, giving them the way out, and just brave and generous.
I love that. A lot of what I talk about is awkward conversation. So I really think that, you know, we need to talk more about pregnancy and breastfeeding in the workplace, for example. Like, it shouldn't be weird for somebody to block out 30 minutes on their calendar because this is my pumping break, you know. But instead we like lie about it or say something awkward or something because we don't want to say like I'm making breast milk for my baby. Let's just be awkward, it's fine.
Being able to think about that on the other shoe, right? So as someone who's never had to pump, right? I think, gosh, I'd really like a 30 minute break every 4 hours in my day too, right? And so I have this story in my head. And so how do you, as a mom going into an office in that situation, create the whole story, right? Like, it's a bit of a nuisance, I'm imagining, for the mom going to pump and you get in a flower to lead meetings, or it's like awkward, right? It is that awkward discussion. But really saying, you know, this is exhausting on my body. I expend a lot of energy just doing all the stuff my body's doing to really care for my child. Like, it looks like I have a 30-minute break and whew, I'm still focused. I'm reading, I'm answering emails when I'm there pumping. Like, give them whatever the complete story is, and having that generosity to say in their shoes, what might their story be? Mm-hmm. And whether or not you actually talk about their story is a bit irrelevant. What you're doing is creating that story for yourself so that there isn't a perception of you being an asshole where you're asking other people to do your work while you go pump.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And really, this is what's happening in the whole picture of it.
Yeah, I think just considering everyone's perspectives before you kind of jump to conclusions or ask those why questions, like, why are you upset that I have to go do this? Or why do you get to take so much time out of your day to go pump? You know, just be kind and considerate and think through the other person's side or feelings or story before you react.
Somebody has to be the adult, right? And if you're the one feeling the need, and you're feeling like you're sensing whatever you're sensing, that makes you the adult. Like, you've got to lean into the conversation first, regardless of hierarchy or position or experience or any of that stuff. If you're feeling it, just, you're the one that has to drive it. You have to be the adult.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're very grown-up conversations. We have to have a lot of them at work, you know? be the adult. Yes, absolutely. The more we talk and have those conversations and the open-ended communication, you know, the better we're going to be in most cases.
Yep.
Yeah. So, Carrie, before we go, is there anything else about being an asshole that you feel like you need to cover or share about your book?
Yeah, sometimes you can have a team culture of asshole behavior. Where, and I think of those like dysfunctional environments where I used to work in. I worked in the New York City Department of Education for a couple of years. And the school system has 1 million children and 100,000 teachers.
Yeah.
And that's so, and they try to implement structures and, you know, break down that size in a bunch of different ways. I I'm an immigrant, so I'm Canadian. And mm-hmm. when I started teaching there, you don't get sort of the nice jobs when you're an immigrant. They sort of give you the positions that nobody else wants to take. And so I worked in what the Department of Education called persistently dangerous middle school. And I'm not exaggerating when I say people called 911 during class change. Teachers called 911 during class change. It was crazy.
Yeah, that's not.
Yeah, and that culture was one of ass cold trap, ass cold, all of the unwanted behaviors that we see in that ass cold stuff. And so sometimes it's valuable to bring in an outside facilitator to help the group talk through those elephants, what needs to happen, where are we at, where do we want to be? My analogy for that is, let's say that I'm sick in the morning and my partner says to me, oh, are you going to go to work? Yeah, I'm going to go to work. Yeah, are you sure? Yeah, I'm fine. Right. I'm totally protected. And I put on a kind of a facade. I fake it till I make it with my husband. And then I get to work and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so sick. I make an urgent care appointment. I go in to see somebody I've never seen before. All of a sudden I'm telling him the color of what I'm coughing up. I'm getting naked in front of him. I'm totally telling this outside person everything, which is what I do in organizations and with teams that are, they know the potential is there to do what needs to be done, but there's so much spin happening that they just can't find their way through. Eventually, like I say, everyone should graduate from care. Like, it's not my intention to be a consultant with teams forever or coach people forever, right? Like, you're getting the skills so that you can sort of launch and fly on your own. So we think of ass cold behaviors individually, but there's also that angle where the team can just have a culture of ass cold behavior. And sometimes that necessitates an outside ear, putting together themes and just objectively talking about things without blame or bias or anything else. Because when I go into those teams, it doesn't matter to me what they decide or what's happening or not happening. Like, right? And I can just help peel through some of those layers to help. So if anybody on your call needs support with either the one-on-one or the team stuff, I'd be happy to help.
Absolutely. So on that note, how can they find you?
Yeah, so they can find me at carriebirchall.com. My Ask Cole book is available on Amazon, audio, paper, and ebook. And I did the audiobook. I actually just uploaded it this week. I think technically it's in review for like a day longer. But by the time this is out in recording, it will be up. And it's just fun to read my own book and have just the stories and think about people that I've served over the years and will hopefully continue to serve.
Yeah, I love to listen to audio versions when it's the author reading it, because there's just so much more like emotional tie to the words, you know?
I hope that's how it comes out with me too. Yeah, this is a whole new thing. I have a PhD, so I've done academic writing before, but this Ask Cold Trap was just straight up fun. So I hope that emotion and stuff you're talking about, Courtney, comes out in the book, because it's been a joy to write.
I'm sure that it does. Well, Carrie, thank you so much for coming on today and talking to us about being ask-holes.
Absolutely. People can sign up for my weekly email if they want on my website. I'd love to get in touch with your audience.
Absolutely. And I'll be sure to put all those links in the show notes as well.
Awesome. Have a great week.
Thank you. So thank you for listening and coming along today. If you've enjoyed this episode, I am sure that you will also enjoy the Next Gen Work Culture Framework, which you can find at CourtneyRoss.com/framework. That's everything you need to know to help develop a work culture that is ready for the next generation and those who are raising them. And I'd also love it if you could leave a rating or review on your favorite podcast player. And until next time, take care.